In 2003, I was part of a motley crew of Americans and Brits who were stationed at an outpost in Erbil in northern Iraq in the early days of the Second Gulf War. And we had it pretty good. We were living and working in a small hotel guarded by Peshmerga, who are the Iraqi, well, the Kurdish soldiers, and most importantly, guarded by a large pack of wild dogs. Now, we loved these dogs because it's a war zone, and you're just happy for anything that's happy to see you. But these dogs were, over time, we had kind of bribed them with hamburgers that we had smuggled out of the cafeteria. And in turn, they would accompany us when we went out running around the compound in the morning. Now, the undisputed leader of this pack was this white, sturdy dog with no ears, no tail, but a huge, huge, toothy grin. This dog was, when you first looked at him, and he loved to greet all the visitors to the compound, but when you first looked at him, all you saw was a wall of teeth, and it was frightening. But if you looked past the wall of teeth, you would see his little tailless butt shaking, and he would do the little tippy-tap because he was excited to see people. He was famous. Every person who came to our compound knew this dog, and we named him, of course, Smiley. Now, we had a pretty idyllic existence in Iraq until February 1st, 2004. There was a double suicide bombing in Erbil that targeted the headquarters of the two Kurdish political parties. Now, this was unheard of in northern Iraq, in Iraqi Kurdistan. This kind of stuff happened elsewhere in Iraq, but not in northern Iraq. So people were on edge and scared. And we were on lockdown, but we were calling friends and contacts in Erbil to find out what happened, who was injured. And it was scary. And then we heard a gunshot nearby. Like, what the hell? And this guy that I'd never seen before kind of barged into our office, and he's like, "Goddamn stray dogs in the parking lot." And we're like, "You shot one of our dogs?" We saw from the window Smiley in the pack running toward the hills. So a couple of us threw on some jackets and we go running after them, following the trail of blood in the snow. And Smiley was leading the pack, but he was starting to slow down. And then he collapsed. I was with this guy, Tony. Tony heroically ripped off his coat, ripped off his shirt in the snow to tie it around the bullet wound to stop the bleeding. Someone else went to get a vehicle, and when the vehicle came, we bundled him into the back. Now, we were on lockdown. We got to the gate of the compound, and the guard was not supposed to let anyone in or anyone out. But we yelled, "Soldier's been shot! We've got to get to the hospital!" So they waved us through. And then we're driving around in Erbil, and it is chaos. There are two plumes of smoke from the buildings that had been bombed. All the Kurdish men are out on the streets with guns patrolling. Women dressed in black are wailing. And we're driving around trying to find a vet. So we eventually found a Kurdish woman who was a livestock veterinarian at home. And she spoke a little bit of English, and we told her what had happened. She came out to check Smiley. She didn't have any tools or supplies. Those were in her office across town, but she brought a bottle of water and cleaned him up a little bit. And what she said was that it wasn't just one wound, he had three. Apparently, the bullet had entered the back of his shoulder, came out the front, and went out through his mouth. So she cleaned him up, and she said, "Oh, and by the way, that was an indication that he'd been shot as he was walking away." Anyway, she cleaned him up, made sure there was no bullet still lodged in him, and she just said, look, there's nothing more I can do. If he survives the night, he'll probably survive. So we took him back to our hotel and kind of kept a vigil. But I swore if this dog survived, I was not leaving Iraq without him. That night, my friend Tony and I slept on the floor next to him, and in the morning he was still breathing. Now the Kurdish staff started to come to the room. They wrote him a little get well card in Kurdish and stuck it on the door. They were smuggling little bits of hamburger for him, and I think the smell of the hamburger, his eyes popped open. Like, this is a good sign. In the meantime, like I said, this dog was famous. Every person who'd ever been on our compound knew Smiley. And we were getting emails and phone calls, first from Mosul, then from Baghdad, from Kuwait, from Turkey, from Jordan, from London, from Washington. Everyone wanting to know what happened to Smiley. So he got better. He was able to stand up a little bit, and we took him out onto the balcony after a couple of days, and it was something about that, you know, fresh mountain air. But most importantly, he was hearing his pack howling for him, and he started to pace back and forth on that balcony, and we figured it's time to let him reunite with his pack. So he went out kind of limping. His pack sniffed him because he smelled a whole lot like hamburger patties at that point. But he went limping off. And I swear to God, a couple of days later, I saw that dog running on the ridge as if nothing had happened to him. But great. So we're now all doing planning about the logistics of how to get this dog out of the country with me. Are we going to smuggle him on to military air and take him down to Kuwait? Are we going to somehow put him on a UN flight to Jordan? Are we going to drive him north to Turkey? Everyone was getting in on the planning for this. And it was great. We all had something to look forward to. But one day he showed up and he was limping really badly. But, you know, we didn't panic this time. Like, this dog survived 3 bullet wounds. Like, what is this, a broken leg? He can survive it. But we thought we're going to give him real medical care this time. There was a vet in Sulaymaniyah, 3 hours to the east. Yay, a vet, a real vet. Yay! I appreciate that. This vet actually cared for mine detecting dogs. So, like a real vet. Yay! So we drove him. We're going to drive him 3 hours over to Sulaymaniyah. But again, we got to the gate and we were saying, soldier with a broken leg, we've got to go to the hospital. Guard just let us go. So we got him set up out there. The vet was going to set his leg and let him, you know, have him stay out there, keep his eye on him, and we would come back and get him when the leg was healed. But a couple of days before we were scheduled to go and pick him up, the vet called me and said Smiley had died that night. They thought snake bite or scorpion sting, but he offered to bury the dog in Sulaymaniyah. I said, no, he's got to come home. So Tony and I got in the car again for the last trip, got to the gate, the guards at the gate, and said, a soldier died, and we've got to bring him home. The soldier, the guard let us go. We did that long trip to Sulaymaniyah, picked him up, brought him back, and buried him at the highest point on our compound, where he could always look out after his pack of dogs and the motley pack of strays of Americans and Brits who loved him. Thanks. Jessica asked me to inform you of a postscript just to let you know that justice was served. The guy who shot the dog who was walking away from him, it was determined to be, they had to do an investigation, it was determined to be negligent discharge of a weapon. He was fired and sent back to the United States, but not before he got the shit beat out of him in Erbil.